You are listening to Hit Play, Not Pause, a feisty menopause podcast for active, performance-minded women. I am your host, Celine Yeager. Each week, I bring you advice from athletes, scientists, researchers, and other experts to help you feel and perform your best, no matter what your hormones are doing. This show is a production of Live Feisty Media. Hello, strong, feisty women. So I have a fun one for you this week. I had the opportunity and the pleasure to sit down with the one and only Myrna Valerio, aka the Myrnavator, and it did not disappoint. For those who don't know Myrna, she has been breaking ground in the endurance sports world since 2008 when she started her blog, Fat Girl Running, about her experiences as a plus-size woman in a world of thinner endurance athletes while she was training for her first marathon. And as a Black woman in a larger body who is also an ultra runner, she has endured her share of harassment both online and in real life. But despite some people trying to put her down, Myrna's devoted her life to lifting others up, showing those like herself what's possible, which for her includes 11 marathons, 15 50K plus ultras, and a best-selling memoir, A Beautiful Work in Progress. Now Myrna is facing another challenge we're all familiar with, perimenopause. This week, we talk all about what she's experiencing, how it's impacting her running and training, and what she's doing to take care of herself through this chapter of her journey. Along with being an ultramarathoner, Myrna is also a cyclist, a skier, and a DEI professional. She has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Runner's World, and on NBC Nightly News, CNN, and in the viral documentary short, REI Presents The Myrnavator. Myrna is also one of the Lululemon ambassadors participating in Further, which is an initiative to show how far women can go when they're supported with resources and product innovations that are typically reserved for men. The initiative will culminate in the six-day Further Ultra Marathon that begins on International Women's Day, March 8th, 2024, so coming up. You can learn all about her and her work at themyrnavator.com. I hope you enjoy this one as much as I did. All right, before we get to it, I'd like to thank everyone who signed up for our new course, Navigate Menopause. I so appreciate you. I also appreciate all the recent five-star ratings and great reviews on the podcast. Thank you so much for that. And as always, you can find us at Feisty Menopause on Instagram and Facebook. Sign up for my free weekly newsletter at feistymenopause.com. Join our free private Hit Play Not Pause Facebook group, which is now more than 28,000 strong. And if you have ideas for a show, you can hit me up at hitplaynotpause@livefeisty.com. Finally, thanks to Prevenex for their ongoing longtime support. If you haven't tried their new Muscle Health Plus product, I highly recommend it. It's got creatine, all your essential amino acids and branched chain amino acids, HMB, and other muscle building ingredients in one super easy to use, very reasonably priced product. I use it daily. It's been a game changer. So thanks, Prevenex. I appreciate you too. All right, enough of me. Let's have a few words about our awesome sponsors and get on with the show. Musculoskeletal health is everything during menopause. Everyone knows how much I love Joint Health Plus from Prevenex, which has helped me get back to distance running after arthritic toes stopped me in my tracks. Now they have a product that has become my go-to for muscle strength and recovery, Muscle Health Plus. Muscle Health Plus contains all the key ingredients we talk about on this show, like creatine monohydrate, essential amino acids, and branched chain amino acids, plus even more cutting-edge ingredients like HMB and estrogen that are scientifically shown to increase muscle growth, recovery, and strength. I use it every day during my early morning lifting sessions, and there's no question that it helps my power during those workouts and my recovery after. Plus, I love having everything I need from the best high-quality ingredients in one reasonably priced shake. I've also heard from fellow users who have had bloating or GI upset in the past from creatine that haven't had any of that with Muscle Health Plus. I make my shake with almond milk and espresso, but it's also good with ice cold water, which makes the flavor really pop. As always, you can get 15% off your first order with the code HIPPLAY, all caps, one word, at Prevenex.com. That's HIPPLAY, all caps, one word, at Prevenex.com. Do your muscles a favor and head on over and get some today.
Mm-hmm.
Myrna, I am very stoked that after, I don't think I hounded you. I was just persistent.
Persistent. Yeah, that's people need to be persistent with me because I'm not a very good correspondent. So,
okay.
Yeah, so yeah, it's on me.
I actually just do want to sincerely, sincerely thank you because you live publicly, you give a lot of yourself, you fight multi-front wars, you know, you absorb a lot in the culture. And like, I can barely, I'm out there a little bit, you know, doing this menopause thing. And I know what it's like to have yourself out in public and take like social media barbs. And I know the drain of being public. Mm-hmm. And on your level, I can't even kind of comprehend it. So I actually just want to thank you for doing this. It means a lot to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I have a ton of questions, but the first one, you know, I just saw you posted this biggest, happiest smiling photo of yourself from your IG in Prospect Park. And I would love for you to talk about like what you just did and what it meant to you, because it was really pretty cool.
Well, I will tell you now that my hip is talking to me right now because of that 50K I did in Prospect Park. It was a Prospect Park Track Club Endurance Festival. And I kind of signed up for it on a whim. Also, with sort of in the larger perspective of training for this big race, which we can talk about a little bit later. My friend Latoya, who is in Brooklyn, I'm from Brooklyn. She signed mm-hmm. up for this race and put it on Instagram. And I said, oh, well, I might as well sign up for it too, because I needed a longer race because I've been doing a lot of 25Ks, which is sort of like 50K is more in my wheelhouse. I really love that distance. I think my body is built for it. And 25K, I just don't like the distance, but it was the longest that I could do, like in the sort of condition and training that I was in. So, or the training that I had. And so, yeah, so I went in and I went in with a bad attitude because I spent a lot of money on a hotel and of course I'm like, oh, well, if I don't finish it, I will have spent all this money on this hotel and all of this energy, all this time driving to New York from Vermont to not finish it. So like, I kind of went in with low expectations and an attitude. So, but I got there and it was raining. It rained all day.
And cold. It had to have been cold.
And the temperature was kind of okay in the morning and then it fell throughout the day. And I had a rain gear on and I got soaked and I changed into some more rain gear and I got soaked because it was windy. Anyway, so, but I just went out there and I really like loop courses.
How many loops?
3.35 mile loop.
A 50K of a 3.35 mile loop.
Yes. Listen, I've done smaller loops. And I really enjoy that because I enjoy point-to-point races and big, like one loop, two loop courses as well when they're in the woods. And also on pavement. But yeah, I could just zone out and get the work done. And so I didn't even listen to music until the last loop because I was in New York City and there's tons of noise and people and sounds that kept me occupied. I was also in my head a lot of the time. I got hit on during my second loop. so that was an adventure. Hit on in Spanish. And so I just, after my fourth loop, you know, I said, I'm just going to get this done because it would be dumb to stop. I'm feeling fine. My body doesn't hurt that much. You know, it'll be a slog. This is really a mental test. And so I did. By the end, I was very, very happy because I hadn't done any ultra distance since 2019. And my last marathon had been 2020, the 2020 LA marathon right before shutdown happened or various shutdowns happened. And then I, you know, became injured and then had to contend with that and with COVID happening. But it felt really good. I was so glad that I could really feel good about calling myself an ultra marathoner again.
That's awesome. And let's, you know, I had some questions around, you mentioned sort of those timelines and the injuries, and it's just sort of diving into perimenopause, because that's what, you know, that's what we're talking about here at the, on the show. But, you know, it's clear. I listened to a recent podcast with you with Nicole DeBoom and some of your social posts that you, it's clear that you're in it and you've been talking about it.
Right.
But I feel like I want to set the stage a little bit, because I know you had the meniscus surgery in 2020. It sounds like you also maybe had some perimenopause stuff creeping up in 2021. You know, you talked about some night sweats and anxiety and brain fog and body shape changing on that podcast with Nicole.
Right.
Was there overlap there with the injury? Like, when did you realize what was going on? Do you even have a sense of that?
It really was 2018 when I left teaching. And, you know, I had that year I'd done a bunch of races. I'd finished Trans Rockies. I went on to do Hood to Coast with my then sponsor Highland. And I did Ragnar race. I was doing a lot of racing, my body was used to doing all of that. But suddenly my body just started hurting. It was just like my feet started hurting, like my head, random joint pain that, you know, and at that point I actually didn't have any health insurance, right? Because I had just left teaching and Cobra was like so expensive that like American healthcare sucks, as we all know. So like I couldn't afford it. So like I was very knowledgeable then about perimenopause and stuff. I didn't think that I necessarily had started that, but now in hindsight, I'm like, oh yeah, that definitely was it. And of course, like I changed my job, you know, I was now this sort of, I had gone rogue with various sponsorships and stuff. And so there was that anxiety of just, you know, being able to make a living and I was okay, but I still had some anxiety about it. And other people had anxiety for me, including my family. So there was that, but I did absolutely notice that, I started having this joint pain and then the following year, and I'll skip to the following year, 2019, I was speaking at I think it was Mountain Film, one of the big film festivals, and they were on tour, and it was Savannah, and I spoke down there in Savannah 6 times in a row, and then at the end of that, got a frozen shoulder.
Oh.
And I'd never ever had shoulder pain ever. And I was, you know, I'd been lifting, and I'd worked with a personal trainer. I was obviously going to the gym and doing my workouts and doing my runs, et cetera, et cetera. And by the end of that, I was like, well, you know, I attributed it to stress, you know, because I had spoken 6 times in a row and I was doing all this traveling, but it was super, super weird. My mom had had several frozen shoulders. And I'm like, Mom, like, what's going on with my shoulder? And she's like, oh, you're getting old. It's something that happens to women. We get frozen shoulders. And I really couldn't find any answers. I didn't have a doctor. You go onto the interwebs and it's a bunch of, you know, people who think they're doctors and WebMD this and all that. But that was sort of my first inkling that things were changing in my body. 2018, 2019. And then of course, 2020 hits and I'm having some issues with, I have my torn meniscus and that whole thing, in addition to us having to be sequestered for COVID reasons, I was actually work-wise, I was great. I made the most money I've ever had in my life. which I know wasn't the case for most people. And so I was okay work-wise. My kid was okay. He was safe. But there was this creeping anxiety. I've always been a highly anxious person, but I've I haven't always acknowledged that or I've been open about it. And it was just there. Was there. And having a torn meniscus now, now I make money off of moving my body. Now I had just signed with Lululemon. And then I had surgery and I couldn't really run for a good, I want to say 4 or 5 months. And then it really took me until last year to be fully recovered. I was healed, but in terms of like getting back to training, sort of full time and, being able to do what I was, had been doing previously, I'm still not at the level that I was in terms of my mileage and hours of training. But so that there was anxiety brought on by that, as well. And then in 2021, I was overbooked, I was overwhelmed, but also like I couldn't, I'd never dealt with the anxiety. So it just got worse. And then I finally went to my doctor. At this point, I had a doctor, I had health insurance, and I went to this wonderful place in Montpelier, here in Vermont. It's like the Integrative Women's Wellness Center. Staffed mostly by women or people who identify as women, and sort of started a different kind of wellness journey with my doctor, because she I had to take the survey and spoke to her at length because she actually spent time with me, and it turned out, and then she diagnosed me with severe anxiety and depression, and what that did for me was clarify everything. It clarified everything. I'm like, and I couldn't understand why I was having these dark thoughts. I had a pretty good life. I made a lot of money. My son was flourishing in school, even though it was hybrid. He was happy. What was wrong with me? And then she also alluded to that this was part of like hormone, like a hormonal shift. And I'm like, great. That's just what I need on top of, coming back from injury and then COVID and whatnot. But and I've always been very, very aware of women's health. And I got my period when I was 9. And before then I had books, and my mother was very open about what happens to your body. And so I was very, very fortunate to always have like a certain level of awareness. But it still feels like, I'm like, why is my body betraying me right now? Why
did she
is
talk about menopause though? Did you ever have that?
But she didn't necessarily talk about, when she was having hot flashes and stuff, she's like, well, I'm going through the change, and the cool thing about that was like, she didn't give a shit about anything. I saw this shift in my mom, where she's absolutely a people pleaser, and to her detriment, right? Sometimes. And she, she's still like that, but she's a caretaker. That's sort of that's what her wheelhouse is, right? But to see her not give as much time and energy to things that didn't serve her, to see that was amazing. I want to emulate that.
So then we took a little tangent because I was curious.
I know, sorry. And I ramble.
So you're still talking to your doctor, who's then telling you like, it could be hormonal too. And you're like, oh shit. Were you having hot flashes, night sweats, that kind of thing as well?
No, not at that point. Like I just started getting, and I haven't, as far as I can tell, haven't had any hot flashes, but definitely the sweating started in the last year. Just like waking up completely drenched. And I'm like, what, did I have a fever? And like, when I wasn't thinking, perimenopause, and I'm 47. I was like, oh man, am I sick?
That's when I started having them, like 47, just soaked.
Yeah. And then I'd like take the covers off me because I was so slimy, and then I would get cold. Now my body is damp and wet. But honestly, that hasn't been as disruptive as I thought it would be. Like I, because I fall asleep very quickly afterwards. And so
okay.
I haven't had, so far, I haven't had sleep disturbances. I did have a lot of trouble just getting enough sleep, but that wasn't due to perimenopause. It was just because like the anxiety and like trying to get work done. Well, maybe the anxiety, well, you know, it's all this big circle. and like just trying to get all the stuff done. And, but yeah.
Did the doctor, you know, when she mentioned that, did she then also offer anything to you in the way of perimenopause treatment?
No. The only thing I was, she offered to me and which I declined was, and like an antidepressant or like sort of some sort of like medication around anxiety. And I said, I wanted to try talk therapy first, and which I didn't, I still haven't. But yeah, so like, I'm actually the mem and I'm feeling way better about that the severe anxiety diagnosis, because like, again, it clarified a lot of things for me. And then I was able to like have some coping strategies or just strategies in general for dealing with what was going on in my brain. And knowing that it was a function of this anxiety and not necessarily reality. But in terms of like hormones and stuff like that, actually, that's something that I might consider in this upcoming year, because now like my body's hurting much more and my body has changed. And
changed how?
Man, my belly, like I've always had a belly, always. But it protrudes in a way that's very different than it. Has before, and it's changed my posture, and my hips are wider, and that is, and my butt is bigger. Like I always had a super flat butt, so much so that my sister used to make fun of me. Like, well, that's why you got a flat butt. I'm like, and anyway, so yeah, and well, I know my family noticed. They were like, we know you're deadlifting, but, you know, what's going on back there? Like, you know, not in a negative way or anything, not in a derogatory way. But I was like, yeah, I know. Like, it's bigger. Definitely wider. My clothes fit more differently, or very differently, rather, than they used to. And yeah, and while there hasn't been... since COVID anyway, like weight gain, the where the weight deposits itself,
the shifting around of things
is different. Yeah. So, and I've noticed that, and like, cause I've been in a lot of like campaigns and like photo shoots and video shoots and whatnot. And that, like, you know, and it also shifts the way that I see myself because it is different. So yeah, lots of stuff going on.
Does it change the mechanics of your running?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have these like fat pads, you know, right at the top of my thighs in between my legs that weren't there before. And I was like, well, maybe I should get it surgically removed. So like, my running, my gait doesn't change as much because my gait has changed. And because I'm like trying to like move around the fat, you know, and you know, are there cosmetic reasons? Maybe, you know, but like really, it has definitely changed my gait, and then my hips are different, and you know, that's probably why I'm having some hip pain right now. I also just did a 50K. So me that as well, but I've had more like sort of consistent soreness in my hips, and I know that also like in the reading that I've done, you know, because I do my own research, I try to read peer-reviewed articles, etc. So I know like the hips start changing, and also like I've never cracked my back before unless I was at a chiropractor. And I know that's something that comes with age is like, you're like cracking your bones and just like, and it's so funny. Like, so I don't know. It's very obviously changing. And and I'm trying to be welcoming because I know that, you know, it's an inevitable part of being a person with a uterus. And yeah, I wish more people were welcoming.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I wish society was more welcoming to people, to women getting older. There you go. That's what I mean.
Yeah. We're working on that.
Yeah. Well,
but
maybe not in our lifetimes.
We're trying. That's why we're here. Good sleep. The one thing that sets you up for a great workout and a good day is quality sleep. We talk about it all the time here on the show, which is why I'm stoked to have Lagoon Sleep as a new sponsor. Because one of the most overlooked tools in a great sleep toolbox is the thing you literally rest your head on 8 hours a night, your pillow. A quality pillow is everything. Otherwise, you end up tossing, turning, punching, and folding your pillow, waking up with neck pain, and all the stuff that happens when your pillow doesn't meet your personal comfort needs. Say hello to the most comfortable sleep you've ever had with Lagoon. They start you out with a 2-minute personalized pillow quiz and then pair you with your perfect pillow. I got the Otter, a cooling adjustable pillow that is perfect for side sleepers who run warm at night like I do. It is a dream. It's fully adjustable, so I was able to get the perfect loft and support, and the cooling feature is everything. As someone who turned into a furnace every evening before menopause, I appreciate that the Otter is stuffed with shredded gel-infused memory foam, which instead of trapping heat from my neck and head, draws it away and dissipates it. It's truly delightful. I'm a good sleeper, and Otter's taken it to the next level with both support and cooling. Put my head down, good night, Irene. My Aura ring confirms what little tossing and turning I was doing is gone. The beauty of the pillow quiz is you can get the perfect pillow that you need to and make your sleep the best sleep you can have. Go to lagoonsleep.com/hitplay and take the 2-minute quiz to find your perfect match, and then use the code HITPLAY, all caps one word, for 15% off your first purchase. Sweet dreams. For decades, running shoes have been researched, tested, and designed for men. Brands have relied on the shrink it and pink it approach to sell male shoes to female customers. That's why we are stoked to be working with Hedas. Hedas designs athletic footwear for women that elevates performance, safety, and style. Hedas has unlocked the science behind women's biomechanics through dedicated research and creates better shoes for women's performance. Some of Hedas' special features include a lower ankle collar to reduce rubbing on women's ankle bones, a breathable mesh toe box to allow for ventilation and accommodate female toe shape, a more narrow and reductive heel cup to reduce heel slippage and take pressure off the Achilles, a rounded instep that creates a snug fit through the middle to match the curvature of a woman's foot, and supercritical foam and a PBEX plate in the midsole to keep our legs going when the going gets tough. Hedas has 3 shoe models designed for different sessions: the Alma Cruise for your long runs, the Alma Tempo for training days, and the Alma Speed for pushing the pace. I've been running in the Alma Tempos, and they are a pleasure to train in. You can get your own pair of Hedas at Hedas.com and use the code FEISTY20, that's all caps, FEISTY20, for 20% off. Check it out today. We'll put a clickable link in the show notes to make it a snap. You had alluded that you might investigate hormone therapy, and I do think the research is as far as like weight distribution and what it might or may not do there, but for sure the musculoskeletal stuff, the joint stuff, it seems worth investigating.
Yeah, I've been following Dr. Jen Gunther and Dr. Vonda Wright.
I'm a very good pal of Dr. Vonda Wright.
Yes. And she really is the one that hooked me onto this idea and the notion that of all of these musculoskeletal changes. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's what's happening to me.
She's great.
How that's related to estrogen. And so but why don't we already know this? Why isn't this common knowledge with our primary care physicians?
I joke about calling the show, why don't we already know this? Because it comes up all the time. And you're 100% correct that, oh boy, it's going to take a while. The primary physicians should be better menopause informed, but the amount of training they don't get in medical school is deep and wide. They're just not trained in it. And you're looking at a whole generation, just in 2019 survey showed that you know, only 6.8% of even OB-GYN residents felt prepared for to treat menopause women. Yeah, so small. So we have our work cut out for us, for sure. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I know you do a lot of DEI work, and, you know, the research shows that Black women have a rougher time, you know, and I don't know if you identify with that. I mean, do you feel like they talk about, and you are doing a lot of work in that space, and you have to be absorbing a lot of stress from doing that work. Do you feel like, do you identify with?
Well, first of all, I had to look up the word allostatic.
When I sent you that, the allostatic load. Do you feel the allostatic load?
I definitely, and I have a big vocabulary, but that was not a word.
Sorry.
No, it was, I was like,
that was straight challenge accepted.
I will start using that word every day now.
That's a good word.
Well, yes. And in terms of like the invisible load or the visible load of being a Black woman in today's society in the world. I definitely identify as somebody that carries a load. And you know, if in my book, I do talk about this health scare that I had in 2008, where I was killing it. Like I was trying to kill it. Like I was trying to be successful. I was successful. I was going to grad school because I'm, you know, I'm trying to like continue learning and get a master's, which I did not do. And I'm trying to be a great teacher. I'm trying to be a great leader at school. I'm trying to do all these things. I'm trying to be a great wife. Which I wasn't. Or spouse is a better word, I guess. I did not have time, or so I thought, to actually take care of myself. And not in the notion of self-care and like taking, like commodified self-care anyway, like right. Taking pills and shit. I did not do anything for my own health.
Right.
And also like I had a chronically ill kid, like, so that's really hard.
It is really hard.
And
you thought you were having a heart attack, right?
I thought I was having a heart attack. It was a panic attack.
Yeah, they're similar. You know?
I'd never experienced anything like that. And so, you know, that's when I sort of, I shifted and reprioritized my own life so that I could feel good again, and because I wasn't feeling good. And I didn't really, like, there were things, like I was sick all the time. Like I had this like 2-year long sinus infection, and it just wouldn't go away. And I had this like rash all over my body, and I had this going. I had very horrible dental issues, and you know, because I wasn't sleeping.
Right.
I wasn't sleeping because I was just trying to be everything to everybody. And you know, to the detriment of myself. And so when that sort of cathartic moment happened with me being in a doctor at the cardiologist, and he was like, you know, basically you're gonna die if you continue like this. And that was the message I needed to hear, and I heeded it, and here I am, I'm not dead. I am not a spirit.
That's good to know.
And I think everyone in my family, my husband, my son at that point reaped the benefits of that as well, of me being in better health, of me being in better mental health, and physical health. So, I definitely, and also being a person who is a DEI practitioner, there's a lot that, like, every time I do a workshop, I'm re-traumatizing myself. but that is the nature of the work, right? That's the nature of teaching people how not to be an a-hole. that's a subtitle of all of my workshops. as far as like just carrying this load, like I, I'm often, and I often feel this, I often am like, I'm a representative of my entire community, right? That's it's just, you know, we don't get to be individuals, right? Black people don't get to be individuals. Like,
Right.
you know,
You're a spokeswoman for the
I'm a
Black community.
spokeswoman. You know, I represent the entirety of Blackness in the world. And that's, you know, that is a heavy, heavy, heavy load, right? And so I always have to be super careful about what I say and what I do and how I present myself in the public, and how it's really hard to have a bad day, and just be allowed to like have a bad day, have a bad attitude, because that is reflective of my entire community.
Right.
And so like things like that, I think are it's very common among people in sort of who live their lives publicly, and also people who don't.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, it's just, you know, you start your, and this is less racial and more body size, I think. You know, you start your REI documentary like with this just like bullshit hateful email that you got from somebody calling you a fraud, and you know, you're not really a runner. And like that's got, I mean, I know, like, don't read the comments and don't listen to trolls,
human
but that
beings.
Has to go, totally has to go in.
And each jab at me is an actual jab. Like, I have a physiological response to when I read comments. I try not to. But you know, it's just sometimes it's inevitable. I'm gonna read something.
Well, you want to see some of the good ones, right?
Right.
And it's like if you could only not
but it
see
gets to
the
a point where you don't even want to read comments, because you don't, whether they're good or not, because you're gonna see, because we're gonna look for the negative. And I always see them first. Even though the vast majority of people commenting the vast majority is wonderful, you know, people saying that they're inspired or motivated, or like, oh, it's so cool that what you're doing. And, you know, of course, one of my partners is Ford Bronco, and they boosted one of my posts, right?
Oh, I just saw it today.
And the comments I get from randos, you know, she's driving to the McDonald's. She's, you know, it's the same thing over and over again. That's, you know, like sort of common parlance, parlance, you know, in terms of fat phobic and what's the other word? Anyway, so fat phobic discourse, right? And so like I see that all the time. Like it'll pop up like at the top of my notifications, because I'm also like part of doing what I do is being on social media and showing what I do and interfacing with people. And so yeah, it hurts. It hurts less, but it's still really annoying and disheartening. And like, you know, what if they catch me at a bad moment when I'm like feeling when I'm, you know, having certain feelings or feeling some type of way, as you know, as we say in the vernacular. You know, if I were someone else, like that could have a really, really, a really bad effect on me and my self-esteem, and you know, but look, but I, it hurts. It
How do
hurts.
you take care of yourself? You know, stress definitely exacerbates menopausal symptoms. Like, if there's nothing else I have learned in the 3 years of doing this and talking to all the experts, it's like, and like watching it myself, sort of like wearing a CGM and doing all this Oura Ring, like, I'm like, wow, okay, I can see like what they're talking about. But like, you, like, how do you take care of you in that?
So I've started this, that's a fairly new thing. I try not to go to bed with, you know, and thinking about all the stuff that I have to do tomorrow, because and you know, I might write a list down, all the things that I need to accomplish by, you know, accomplish during the day tomorrow. So I'll write it down by hand. And you know, because there's that sort of graphomotor memory or kinesthetic memory, and so I have it. Those are my teacherly terms. And so I'll put that on my table. And then when I don't have to wake up by a certain time, I'll leave my phone out out in the kitchen, or I'll listen to a book or something like that. I have this nighttime ritual that I do to sort of get my mind and body ready for bed. I'm not very good about the 2 hours of screen free time. I'm not good at that.
Nobody is.
You know what? And it's not it's not realistic for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like work very often working up to.
I go for a good 20 minutes. So I can get like 20 minutes with a book. Yeah.
Exactly. And but I have a nighttime ritual, which I love. I've got a diffuser. I put my diffuser on and, you know, I take a shower. And so when I go into my room, it smells like the diffuser. It's usually some sort of eucalyptus or pine or something like that. And I sit down and massage my feet and I have this like lotion that I only use at night.
Oh, nice.
Crabtree and Evelyn. No, actually it's L'Occitane. I changed it. And so like, I really love that ritual of just kind of like resting, because I know that I'm a morning person.
Me too.
I know that I am my absolute best, most efficient, most clarity having person in the morning. And so that is something that allows me to like to fall asleep and to get the appropriate amount of sleep that I need. And when I wake up without an alarm, I wake up super early. And because if I know that I have to wake up at a certain time, it just gives me more anxiety, and then I can't really get deep REM sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up in the morning, and then I allow myself to putz around. This is another thing. This is a newish thing. I used to be like sort of very regimented. Oh, like, I have to do this. I have to do this. Oh, I'll fold some laundry. I will. And then if my mind goes somewhere else, I just let it go somewhere else. Let it go. I just let it go. I can't speak English. Let it go somewhere else. If I, you know, need to answer a couple of emails, I'll go do that. And then I'll get distracted by something. I am going to go get ADHD testing, by the way. And, you know, or if I have to sweep or make breakfast or coffee, I just let myself do that for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then it sets the tone for the rest of the day, especially like not having a schedule, right? Unless I have a call or something.
Yeah.
And then I get stuff done and I'm not stressed out about it. And I'm, you know, and then I'm in homeostasis.
No, that's great. I mean, that I'm very... It calms me hearing that. I'm not as worried about you. Like, it makes me feel calmer just like hearing your ritual. And those do sound like legit. Like all the things that I've written about you, like you covered, like massage your feet, set the tone, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, bring down the stress. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that has been feeling good lately. And I try to also, it's hard to do that when I'm traveling, I travel 80% of the year. And so like, that's what the real disruptor in my life is. But more and more I'm allowing myself to leave a party, or I hate parties, but it's a part of the job, right? I have to do this, you know, I'm at a Lululemon function. I'm at an LL Bean function. We got to go to dinner with so-and-so and I've got to meet with so-and-so, but I do an Irish goodbye, you know, when I'm done. I leave and I try to leave before I'm tired. And because I'm just not good at night. And my social battery is I'm an introvert, so like my social battery does not last very long. But I can, you know, I'm a performing artist as well, so I can do that. You know, if I need to, I can put it on, you know. I've been learning these things about myself, or like just acknowledging them and then acting on that knowledge. Like, oh, I know that, you know, after 7:30, after 8 o'clock, I am no good. So I need to leave before then. I need to go take a shower, go to bed, read a little bit, massage my feet, you know, do what I do to kind of get ready for the next day.
That's awesome. And that's good advice for absolutely everybody, whether you live a public life where you're teaching people not to be a-holes or not, I guess it's still good.
And again, like I love what I get to do. Like, it's so cool. Like, you know, but you know, I have my limits, and I'm like, and you know, and folks know it. They're like, you ready to leave? I'm like, yes, I'll call you an Uber.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that you really do. I listened to both of you've been on Ritual twice, right? I listened to both of those, and you really do light up when you talk about, you know, not just like the outdoor work that you do, but like, you know, the everyday racism work that you do, and that like you were just so I just felt like you become very animated and very passionate about that for obvious reasons. I'm curious, you know, you talked quite a bit in one of the shows about the everyday racism, sort of the outdoor world and industry which you're in. Do you see it in the menopause space?
Like, you know, I can't say that I know, because that I haven't been really paying attention to.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But I will say, like, so I live in Vermont, I go, there's a place that I go to, a resort that I go to for massages, because, you know, you get a massage and you have access to the whole spa for the entire day. So the other day, just 2 days ago, I went and got a massage. And so I drove up to this place, to the valet,
mm-hmm.
and nobody, normally folks would come out to greet you. Nobody came to like greet me. And like, I was very clearly in the valet line and no one came. And I'm like, I thought, so I was like, okay, well maybe it's 'cause it's cold. So I, and this sounds very, very privileged. I'm waiting in the valet and
to get my massage at the spa.
But this is, but my point is that like, I go there and I'm like, I'm waiting and like, and these people are looking at me and, I had never seen a Black person, use the spa before. And there's not a lot of Black people up in Vermont anyway. And so like, I'm like, what do they think? Do they think I work there? And so I'm like, finally some guy runs out to go get a car. And I'm like, is this the valet line? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm pointing to my car. okay. All right. I'm like, I have a spa appointment. He's like, oh, okay. Things where like nobody greets you. This happens all the time to like me as a Black woman. And if, you know, if it were something that happens once, if that happened once or twice, you know, I wouldn't think anything of it, but it's something that happens consistently to me as like I'm either ignored or like, or there's hypervigilance. You know, if I go into a store, people are like on me, like constantly. I'm like, what, am I going to steal a sofa? I'm not walking out of here with you. So, oh my goodness, my New York just came out really strong. So that's something like I was thinking about that and thinking about racism and the sort of the everyday toll, the allostatic
load. For those who might be confused by this, I always send questions ahead of time and I used that phrase in one of my questions without even, because my God, like I spent so much time in PubMed.
But here's like, I was annoyed, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go about my day because I'm getting a massage. Like not everybody can get a deep tissue massage after a race, you know, like, and this is something that I've been doing is just like not giving a fuck, being myself, not giving a fuck. And just like I walked into the spa room, the spa check-in, and normally I'm very bubbly and smiley and like, I'm not going to perform for anybody today. That's what I'm so tired of it. I'm like, I'm just not going to perform for anyone today. I'm not going to smile. I'm not going to be bubbly. And I, you know, I'm just going to go in. I'm a customer. Give me my massage therapist, please. Ended up being a wonderful massage, and such, but like, you know, that's all of that is a roundabout way of saying that, like, I have felt and started to, sort of disengage from performing for people and, you know, trying to be, a palatable Black person, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like that I've noticed this change as I get older, as like, it eats away at me. And the more I disengage, the more care I'm taking of myself. And I absolutely think that's an effect of of perimenopause and like, you know, sort of coming into that stage of life.
Oh yeah, no, and it's one of the better parts of it, if you ask me.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like say, no, I'm not doing that. No. Don't be
Yep.
ridiculous. I'm not doing that.
That is 100% one of the perks of the stage. I absolutely don't. I want to pivot a little bit because I know that you're also doing. You hinted that you were training for something, so I want to make sure that we hit that. And I also want to hear a little bit more about the Lululemon Further project that you're part
Yeah,
of.
so that's the thing that I'm training for.
Oh, okay.
So Lululemon Further is a 6-day race. There are 10 athletes that are involved. And I think, did you speak with Camille, maybe? Okay, yes. So Camille is one of the athletes. And it, first of all, it's like so cool to be like on a team with Camille. Like, oh my, and Devin Yanko. So cool. Because I idolize those two women. So yeah, we're on this quest to do as many miles as we can do in 6 hours. Now, not that, and six days, not six days. 6 hours would be something entirely different. But 6 days, and not, it's not that 6-day races haven't occurred before, but they've never occurred sort of under the auspices of a big research centered organization, the Canadian Sports Institute. With all of their resources, and then with the resources of Lululemon. And so they partnered together to put on this 6-day race where, you know, each individual athlete is trying for their best, their PR in terms of mileage or
Yeah.
kilometerage. They're Canadian. And so yeah, and so they're probably going to be a couple of attempts at the world record. I will. I'm not in that group. I'm just trying to.
Studying you guys too? Is
Yeah.
there a
Oh
research
yeah.
component?
So yeah. So in this quest, you know, we've done all sorts of testing, and you know, body scans and all, like really, really interesting stuff, VO2 max tests. I mean, like I had never done a VO2 max test before. Doing this, saying yes to this, and I cried.
They're terrible.
The first one, we did one, and then we did one the next day, and on fatigue legs, and then I definitely, and I was actually about to get my period. I had just been, I just had just come off of a really bad sinus infection, and you know, I had traveled in the day before, so just not great conditions. But I mean, like, look, that mimics, you know, sometimes that's race day, right?
Sure is.
And so I felt like I didn't do well, and so I was a big baby. I'm like big slobber. I was like, my like cameras on us and stuff. And then we did it again the next day, which I did better the next day, of course, on fatigue legs. And then we did another round of testing, and I don't know if we're gonna do it again, but like it's been really cool to have that information, to have access to that information and access to those types of resources. Not at liberty to say anything else about any of the other testing,
Sure.
but it's been really, really cool. And to have someone with my body, with my kind of body, my shape, my size, also my race, involved in a, I guess fairly, it's not really wide ranging, in terms of the amount of people that are in the study, but to a fairly important study on women's endurance,
Yeah.
it just blows me away. Like normally when people with my kind of body and body size and shape are studied, it is pathological. You know,
Yes.
when is this person going to become diabetic? When is this person going to have some sort of heart disease or a stroke or you know? And it's you know, when are they going to break their knees? And when are their joints going to fail in general? Like stuff like that. And that's not what this is. It is This is about what can this body do? What can these bodies do? How long can they go for? And that's like, and what is the potential? And I think that for me personally is the coolest part of this project. Has it been a bitch to train? Absolutely.
When is it?
It is at, we start on March 6th.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's not that far away at this point.
No, it's not. And it's been, and so this is the first week, and I've done trans Rockies. I finished trans Rockies in 2018. I attempted it in 2017, got 75 miles in out of 120. Loved it so much, even though it was hard. Went back the next year, finished. And so like, I know I can do 120 miles doing a lot of climbing at altitude. I know that, right? About my body already. So like that, for me, that's already an accomplishment. But I'll see how far I can go. I've been right. This week is my first week kind of doing like 6 days in a row after the 50K. And and because my body has changed so much since 2018, it's very difficult.
That's interesting.
You know, I'm not the same size. I'm not, you know, I don't have this, like I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and run for an hour and then lift for a half an hour and then go teach all day and then do my and run with my cross country kids. Like I don't have that schedule anymore. So, but also like my body doesn't want to do that anymore. And I have started to make peace with that. So like I'm working with a completely different set of parameters here. And you know, and as we talked about it earlier, like why the fat distribution is different and my posture is different and my running form is different. So like I've had to make changes and contend with that. And but I am really trying to be welcoming. Like, but I was like, but still like my body is still pretty fucking phenomenal because like if I can go do 50K and then like go on, get on the treadmill the next day. Like I did Pilates this morning. I have to get back on the treadmill. Like I can still do that. And that is really cool. And I'm starting to lift again next week because I know that's a really, really important factor in being healthy while aging and also like so that I can be strong for this 6 day extravaganza.
Durability. It's a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, like I'm really excited about it. And of course the training has had lulls and I've definitely fallen into ruts but like I'm out of the second rut. So now I'm excited about it again. I'm sure I'll have another one in a couple of weeks, but yeah, it'll be really cool.
Can I ask, and I'm just curious if, because other women I have, and I'm dancing around this because the whole conversation is so loaded, but when I have talked to other women, larger runners, they've gone to see their doctors recently and the weight loss drugs come up and I'm wondering, yeah, I know. And I was so reluctant to bring it up, but I had to like, if you had a thought, right. If you've had a thought on it, because it's like, it's almost an unavoidable part of the conversation right now. And I didn't know if that has entered your atmosphere. And if so, like what you've done with it.
I've had the pleasure and privilege of having a doctor that is health at every size trained. Many of the doctors here in Vermont are, but I also go in and I'm like, listen, I know that under the stupid BMI categories, I know where I fall. You don't have to tell me that. Like I go in there saying that, I put it on my intake forms and I say, look, technically I'm a professional athlete. That's what I do. It's what I do for work. So don't say, oh, have you ever exercised before? Which a gynecologist of mine a couple of years ago, before I left school, said to me, and I had gone in, there was some issue that I had wanted to discuss with her. And I had just done a marathon it was like Thursday or something like that. And I had done a marathon the previous Sunday. And I had another one the next Sunday. And I said, I'm between marathons. And I had another doctor's appointment with a pulmonologist that same week, right? And because I was on spring break, so I tried to get all my doctor's appointments in. And so the woman, the gynecologist was like, well, have you considered exercising? And I had just told her, I just finished a marathon. She couldn't hear it.
Oh my God.
And then the pulmonologist said I, and I went in because I had had a resurgence of asthma because I've been asthmatic since I was born, right? But it sometimes it's sometimes I don't have to take an inhaler. It's other times I do, and so I had been having some problems, and so I went in, and it was the same week. I was like, "Look, I just want to go into my next marathon." And I said, "A very my next marathon, knowing that I won't drop dead." And so and then he starts talking about something like that, and then like 3 minutes later, he's like, "Wait, did you say you were doing a marathon?" I was like, "Well, I said I did one on Sunday, and then I'm going to do another one this Sunday, so that's why I'm asking about an inhaler." He's like, but I, and then, and th those are kind of like, I want to say probably around 2015 or so, 20, maybe 2014. And then the next time I had any issues with a doctor was when I was getting my form, my medical form for Marathon des Sables. I had to, you have to go to get a physical and you have to also get an EKG before you head out there. So that's why I was at the dentist. Wasn't not my doctor. Yeah, because I at this point I didn't have a doctor yet. And so I went into this one of my mom's doctors. And at the end he's like, "Oh, so what do you need this form for?" I was like, "Well, I'm going out to Morocco to do a race, a running race in the desert."
And tell people how long it is for those
And
who don't know.
it's a 6 day, and I don't even know. I went as media and I only did the first day, right?
That's fine.
And which was like 30K, and I was like, yes. Because of course they don't tell you the distances until you get on the bus to go
Oh
to the
boy.
right. So yeah. So I was very happy it was 30K. I was like, I eat 18 miles for breakfast, whatever, or 19 or whatever it is. And anyway, so so I go to this doctor and like we get the EKG and he's like, okay. He's like, "Well, everything is normal, but like I'm a little worried about your BMI." I'm like, "I just told you." I was like, "Listen, sir, I just told you I am going to do a race. I do this professionally. I mean, it's what I do for work. And you and I both know that BMI is bullshit." He's like, "Well, yeah, but it's something you should worry about." You can't win. And like every like literally everything, like all the metabolic profile or panel was, perfect. And it's always like, "Well, wow, well, your blood sugar is great. And your blood pressure is, yeah. And let me just do it again and make sure." Because it was, low for a person my size or whatever. And so there's still a lot of work to be done in the medical community. I have not, no doctor of mine or has mentioned Ozempic, Wegovy, any of those weight loss drugs, or any sort of weight loss surgery, or no one has done that. Because I think because I have been preemptive and saying that is not what I'm here for. So please don't talk to me about those things. And I'm like, and I'm very like sort of like aggressive about it now, because I have to be.
No, that's why that's I hedged on if I wanted to ask the question, especially after we had such a great positive discussion on the Lululemon project. But because I know it comes up so much with people that I've interacted with, I really did want to like hear your.
And I know people, there are folks that is part of like their what they want for themselves, and that's fine. Like I believe in complete bodily autonomy, but that's not something that I want or need for myself.
Excellent. Well, Myrna, I'm very excited for you, and I will be cheering for you for your the Lululemon effort and seeing what yet to come that you have not been able to talk about. The are they going to be publishing on this? Should we look
Yeah, in a
forward to?
couple of years, I think,
Oh yeah.
after they
Okay.
like aggregate all the data and
Yeah.
whatnot.
Are you going to get a shoe too?
I'm looking at my
Ah.
shoe right now. Yeah, a new apparel.
Nice.
That is really exciting. I have two little mannequins. Well, two little like 3D printouts of my body, like two little ones.
Really?
Part of the process of, and not further specific, but of being an ambassador for Lululemon is, you know, doing stuff with apparel and doing a lot of fittings and stuff like that. And so like they have models of our bodies, like, and it's so cool because I have like a little superhero, a little fat superhero, Myrna Flareon, I guess. And when people come to my place, they're like, oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I wish that this kind of thing existed when I was younger. Like I would see people that have different kinds of bodies, like just in non-negative ways, like represented in non-negative ways. Like, so that's been really cool. So I guess that's how they make our clothes.
That's rad. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you thought that you'd like to express to our audience, or?
Keep moving. I mean, like, you know, today I went to Pilates. My entire body was hurting, especially my hip, but I have some issues with sciatica, but I almost canceled because I was in a lot of pain. And I was very anxious about it, but I was like, I'm going to go to Pilates. I'm going to tell the instructor that I'm in a lot of pain. And it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I needed the community. I needed to see other women moving within all their various ages. It's an older group that does this Pilates class. And it was exactly the thing that I needed. And my body felt better. I moved it in a really gentle and loving way. And yes, like be gentle with your bodies. Be patient, because I know it's really hard. And I'm also working on that. And be kind and loving.
Perfect. Well, that's our show. Come on back next week when I talk all about how to keep your vagina and vulva happy, healthy, and comfortable with Dr. Rochelle Bernstein of Purely Menopause. You won't want to miss this one, so come on back for that. And until then, as always, stay feisty. You've been listening to Hit Play, Not Pause, a feisty menopause podcast for active, performance-minded women. I'm your host, Celine Yeager. The show is edited and produced by the strong, talented, and amazing women at Live Feisty Media. Follow us on social media at Feisty Menopause, and please help us spread the word. Screenshot and share this episode on your social media channels with the tag at Feisty Menopause. Share the show with your friends, and please subscribe, like, review, and rate this show wherever you get your podcasts. Word of mouth and good reviews make it easier for other listeners to find. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay feisty.